Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
I invite you to take your Bibles today. We're in James chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 18 through 20. James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" We begin our study today in the book of James and verses 18 through 20. It's important that we realize that James is continuing what he taught us in verses 14 through 17. So let's just do a quick review of what we learned in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. James wrote, "For what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him?" Or in other words, is that a saving faith? "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." So we talked about last time how that faith is the conduit that leads us to Christ. A lot of times, people get hung up on the idea, is my faith strong enough? And the idea that faith is what saves us, but faith is not what saves us. Faith is that gift from God that leads us to Christ, trusting in Him and His finished work on the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection for our salvation. And so it is Christ that saves, but faith is the conduit that leads us to Christ. It's trusting in Jesus and His righteousness, not my own, not my works or your works, but His righteousness, His work to reconcile us to God. So it's faith in a person whose person and work is sufficient for our salvation. So faith is not a work, but rather a gift. The Bible makes it clear in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So James is reminding us, the Bible is teaching us, that our faith is a gift. If it was a work, then God would be saving us out of debt. But that's not the way salvation works. The Bible's very clear that salvation is by grace. It's something that we don't deserve, it's something that we can't earn, and it's something that we can't purchase. But faith is the conduit that leads us to Christ. We must come to Christ, totally dependent upon Him, to save us. Now, what James is talking about in James chapter 2 is the difference between a false faith and a genuine faith. And his emphasis is the fact that a genuine faith is evidenced by works. Remember, sanctification follows justification. Now, a man may say that he has faith when he really doesn't have a saving faith. When you look at last week's lesson, James took an illustration of compassion. If a person says they have compassion, sees a brother or sister that's in need, and he has a desire and he has the ability to help with that need, and he shows the compassion, but he doesn't extend compassion, that's the same way as a person that says he has faith but does not produce works. It's the illustration that James is giving in last week's lesson. As we get into this week's lesson, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, the first part of verse 22, that even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. The righteousness of God that comes upon the lives of believers when they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, upon all that believe, that's the kind of righteousness that should be reflected in our lives. R.C. Sproul put it this way, to be justified by faith is not to be justified because we have faith, in the sense that our faith now is the supreme work that makes us righteous. The language here is of being justified by faith or through faith simply means that faith is the means by which we lay hold of Christ. As we look at verse number 18, we see the great contrast, or the problem, if you will. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Well, first of all, you cannot show your faith without works. You just can't do it. It's like saying, well, I have such compassion for you, and yet not showing that compassion. It's the same thing that James talked about last time. Robert Jeffress talked about that the theme of James is that authentic faith always produces spiritual fruit. If there's no visible spiritual fruit, then you can assume there is no saving faith. He wrote this, earlier in my ministry, I used to do marriage counseling. When an aggrieved spouse would complain to me about their mate, I would invariably ask, is your mate a Christian? They'd say, oh yes, and point to a childhood experience or feeling their mate had. I would probe a little more, asking, do they ever read their Bible, pray, or go to church? The answer would be no. Have they ever won anybody to faith in Christ? No again. Why do we think that somebody who doesn't read the Bible, pray, enjoy church, or share their faith is saved? Doing those things doesn't make you a Christian, but it shows you are a Christian. To have none of that fruit in your life is evidence of spiritual deadness. That's what James was saying. Faith without results is dead faith. That's coming from a pastor who knows what he's talking about. A dead faith does not lead to possession of salvation. A dead faith is not a genuine faith. But the good news is that genuine faith can be tested. Genuine faith can be tested. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first two verses, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. And then he says this, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Unless ye have believed in vain. My friend, life produces good works. That's the reason Jesus saved us. John 3:16, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. Life. And life produces good works. Now, the solution then is true faith. True faith. James writes, I will show thee my faith by my works. True faith leads to at least three things. It leads to fruit, it leads to life, and it leads to power. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The Bible makes it clear that the just, the saved, shall live by his faith. So many today, I'm afraid, are missing heaven by 18 inches, having a head knowledge without a heart conviction, knowing the truth intellectually, but not incorporating it into their life. James goes on to write in verse number 19, thou believest that there is one God. He's talking about an intellectual knowledge of the truth, but it's not necessarily a saving faith. For he goes on and writes, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They shudder with this knowledge that there is a one and true God. having religion or orthodoxy, but not knowing Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, having religion, even memorizing scripture and having the knowledge of how to be saved, my friend, if it's just an intellectual knowledge, that's not faith. That's not a saving faith. That's not knowing Christ. What's missing in that? Well, we're going to find that out here very, very soon. But dead faith may be even theologically sound, but if it's intellect alone, that's not enough. That's not enough. Judaism was based on the concept of the oneness of God, and that's what James is making reference to here. For the Old Testament Jew and even the Jews of James's day, Deuteronomy 6:4 was well known. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The monotheistic belief of the Jews, knowing that there was only one God. But in a world characterized by polytheism, the Jews were confident in their religion. But religion does not always translate into a relationship. And that's the difference. Knowledge without faith in Christ is not enough. Now, when we talk about faith, we're talking about a total dependency upon Christ, trusting in Him. Knowledge without this trust, without this complete dependence upon Christ and His work for salvation, is simply not enough. James reminds us that even the demons believe the Bible, and they're terrified. We see an emotional response here from the demons as they tremble at this knowledge of who God is. And a lot of times you can go to services and you'll see folks who are crying and they're very emotional. But my friend, there's more to being saved than just having a knowledge and shedding a tear. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 8, beginning of verse 28, the Bible says, and when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they sent into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Even the demons believed the Bible, and they were terrified of the Lord Jesus Christ because they recognized who he was. James goes on and tells us in verse number 20, and this is the key to having a saving faith. He says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. The term, O vain man, means O senseless man. What's missing that we find in verse number 20 that makes a saving faith, a genuine faith? Well, we've already learned that intellect by itself's not enough, but it is important. We need to understand the foundational truths of the gospel, that we're all sinners, that the penalty and the wages of our sin is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And we need to realize that there's nothing we can do, there's no way that we can pay that price by ourselves. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. He went to the cross. He lived a perfect life as the God-man. He lived the perfect life. He did the works that we could not do. He paid the price that we could not pay. And if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, He wants to save us and He will save us. We need that knowledge of what the Bible teaches. And we found out that emotions are not enough. But you know, if you're not emotionally involved in this decision to trust Christ as your Savior, I'm wondering if you're sincere or not, because we are an emotional people. So let's say we have the intellect, let's say we have the emotions. What's missing to make it a genuine faith? Verse number 20, it's the will. It's the will. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The Reformation Study Bible said this is a strong rebuke. It is a moral judgment more than an intellectual judgment, recalling the judgment that falls upon the fool in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. You see, faith without substance is truly empty. But are you willing to know, James says? Sometimes the problem with people is not the knowledge as so much as it is the will. The will. You know, the devil and his demons, they had the knowledge, but they chose to rebel against God. And they're in a state of rebellion today. Adam and Eve had the knowledge, but they chose to rebel against God. You and I now are in need of salvation. There's only one way to be reconciled to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby man must be saved. And so now we are faced with that same basic choice. Are we going to trust God? Are we going to accept what Jesus Christ did upon the cross as the means of our salvation? Are we willing to do that? And that's the difference between a false faith and a genuine faith. So let me ask you today, examine your salvation experience. If you're listening to my voice today and you believe that you're a Christian, you're hoping you'll get to heaven, well, let's just examine where that faith is placed, whether or not it's placed in some religious experience, whether it's placed in some work that you've done, or has it been placed in the person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have the knowledge of salvation, the need that you need to be saved, how to be saved? Are you emotionally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ? And then thirdly, have you placed your will? Have you chosen to give everything that you have to the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Savior? There's a big conflict today about the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There really should be no conflict at all. Because, my friend, if you accept Him as your Savior, you also accept Him as your Lord. And should be willing to follow Him and to obey Him and to serve Him, because a genuine faith produces works of righteousness, which, by the way, are still not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of God working through us. That's one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. So I want to share a real danger today that J. Vernon McGee wrote concerning this false faith. And so let me share with you what he wrote that's a great danger even in our day. He wrote, "One of the greatest dangers for us preachers of the gospel is that we like to see people converted, and we are willing to accept a brazen, flippant yes from some individual who says, 'Yes, I'll trust Jesus.' However, it might be just an impertinent, impudent, and insolent nod of the head. It is so easy today to be as phony as a $3 bill. The story is told that the devil had a meeting with his demons to decide how to persuade men that God was non-existent. Since they themselves believed in His existence, they wondered just how to do it. One demon suggested that they tell people Jesus Christ never really existed, and that men should not believe such fiction. Another demon suggested that they persuade men that death ends all, and there is no need to worry about life after death. Finally, the most intelligent demon suggested that they tell everyone that there is a God, that there is Jesus Christ, and that believing in him saves. But all you have to do is profess faith in Christ and then go on living in sin as you used to do. They decided to use this tactic, and it is the tactic the devil uses even today. My friend, I'm concerned today about perhaps somebody I'm talking to that you have made a profession. You've said a prayer. You had the knowledge. You may have been crying at the time. But did you certainly place your will, your faith, your whole being and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior? When the Bible tells us about our faith back in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read again, beginning in verse 8, down through verse 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we're reminded that it's not by our works, it's not by our joining a church, it's not by our being baptized in the water. These are not things that save us. We are saved by grace through faith. Grace comes from God. And even the faith that we have to put our trust in Christ is a gift from God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians how that salvation begins with God, how the salvation is accomplished by God, and how that salvation is all of God's work. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Son of God, the ministry of God the Father, this all was planned out before you and I were ever created. This was God's plan. He knew that men would need it if they were ever to be saved. He says in verse 9 of Ephesians chapter 2, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast about because it's all of God. Anytime you're faced with religious teachings that exalt man over God, be wary, because the whole purpose of man is to exalt God. And then verse number 10, for we, referring to believers, are his workmanship. Whatever we are as a Christian is because of what God has done in our lives. He is the one who has made us and saved us. The writer goes on, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, James is saying something that Paul was writing to the Ephesians about. If you claim to have a genuine faith, it needs to evidence itself with genuine works of righteousness. And Paul went on to finish this verse, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. James and Paul are in agreement. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Can't do it. I will show thee my faith by my works. That we can do. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? It's vain, it's worthless, if it does not produce works. The Bible is very clear. God wants to change our lives. He wants our lives to reflect Christ to a world that needs Christ. Father, today may you take this lesson and implant it in our hearts and our minds of the need that this world has of you, and that you want to use us as believers to preach that word and to show forth that word that Christ changes lives. In Christ's name, amen.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.